It's time for one of the biggest music events of the year in Syracuse, and we're going to get a musician's perspective on it on this edition of the 315.
Drape the girls around your shoulder. Wonder where I've grown a colder. Is it such a mystery? So much you do not do. So these are my words, me to you, babe. Can you even hear them? You walk around thinking you do not need a change, but I'll only rearrange, babe.
Welcome to the 315. I'm Joe Lee. Kevin Kloss has abandoned me for the day. March 7 and 8 are the dates for this year's Syracuse Area Music Awards, affectionately known around these parts as the Sammies. The Hall of Fame Induction Awards will take place on March 7th upstairs at the Dinosaur Barbecue, and the show itself will take place on March 8th at the Palace Theater in Eastwood. Bands from categories of blues, rock, jam bands, alternative, Americana, hip-hop and R&B, and pop, among others, will be recognized for their outstanding work. It must be a great honor to have your music recognized by your peers, right? Well, to find out what it's like, we're going to talk to a musician and get her perspective on the whole process. We welcome to the show Jess Novak, who is nominated in the singer-songwriter category for this year. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So how does it feel?
Oh, it's always very exciting. It's an honor.
You've won this before, right?
I have, yes.
In which category?
It was Best Pop in 2017 for Inches from the Sun.
Okay. And this year you're nominated for a singer-songwriter.
Yes.
So describe your music for us. So you must be genre bending.
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. It's more interesting to be that way.
Okay.
In the past, most of my albums, except for my very first, was also more of a singer-songwriter vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But for the past few years, they've been full band and definitely a bigger kind of rock pop sound. And then this year, I decided to go back to more of a solo sound because I've been doing so many more shows by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to have something to represent that. So that's why I kind of went back to this vibe of singer-songwriter, me with a piano, me with a guitar, and accompanying myself, and have guests like Lauren Berger and Ben Wayne. So other people lending small pieces to make the whole thing get this kind of very organic sound.
So how did you get where you are? What's your music journey?
Oh, it's been a wild one. I started on classical violin as a kid, mm-hmm. and then it wasn't until many years later that I was kind of fighting performance because I thought I wasn't good enough. And so finally in my 20s, I just decided to go for it after this big trip that changed my whole life. And once I did, it was like the ball couldn't stop rolling. It just kept going and going and changing and meeting new people. And it's been so exciting and fun and a big, wonderful, you know, process.
Very involved family pushing music?
Sort of. They're very supportive.
Okay.
My mom's name is Melody, but she doesn't play or sing.
Okay.
So I come from a musical family, but my brother was the biggest influence on me, who kind of got me into the whole rock
mm-hmm.
vibe. I always loved Jimi Hendrix and Cream and that kind of a thing. So they're involved and very supportive, mm-hmm. but not all musicians.
So what's getting the most spins on your playlist right now?
For my music or what I'm listening to?
No, what you're listening to.
Oh,
Let's get an idea of what floats your boat.
Like. Yeah, I'm trying to think of like the latest thing I added to my playlist. I'm a big 90s person, so lately I've been going back to Alanis Morissette and really getting back into that. I just started covering You Oughta Know, and so I guess 90s and like Sublime. We were just playing a bunch of that the other mm-hmm. day, so throwing it back a little bit.
Sublime and Sublime with Rome?
Yeah,
that
yeah,
vibe?
That's cool. Yeah,
that's
cool,
I like that. So you are, now, you're not new to the scene here. Many people, music fans, know who you are and what you do. But you've been embedded in the music scene for quite a while as both a writer and a performer. So what's your take on the Sammies? Is it a big deal?
Yeah, it definitely is. Having traveled quite a bit, I don't really know another city that does something quite like this, that really takes the time and effort to recognize musicians the way the Sammies board does. It's really, it's amazing because it's not easy. And I know they take a lot of heat because, of course, everybody wants to win, and right. they're going to have some opinion about one way or another. But really, it's a great service to just care that much to mm-hmm. recognize musicians the way they do.
And it mimics the Grammys,
yes.
hence the Sammys. And I like the fact that there are so many multiple categories to be recognized in, and that we have that many musicians and bands in those categories
yes.
in this town. It's
Definitely.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And so, what's the scene like? What are you? Where do you go to listen to music? Where do you play?
Yeah, it's very active. I like to travel a little bit more than maybe most people. I go up and down the East Coast. I've gone across country, but even just within New York, we're just in Old Forge and Oswego and then in town this weekend. So it's really easy to get out and around. So there are tons of places, but in town, I have a weekly open mic at Maxwell's. I just played Empire Brewing downtown. You know, I feel like there's more places popping up all the time. That mm-hmm. I mean, the summer, it's so crazy. I've been booked all these places I haven't even been to yet. So mm-hmm. it's really encouraging to see all these bars just trying to bring more live music in.
Is there do you have a sense that getting nominated, even winning in the categories at the Sammys, does that do anything to enhance your career, enhance bookings? Is there an impact, a positive impact from participating in this?
I think so. I think anytime you're recognized, I know it's the first thing I put up on my website to say, you know, awards I've won and where I've been recognized. So I think so. And I think both in town and outside of town, because when people say, I love when I go out of town, I say, oh, I won Best Pop. And they're like, whoa, that must be a big deal. That sounds huge. It's Sammy's like Grammys. And like, it makes people think of you a different way. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's a great
positive
thing.
And there's a good piece of engagement between the organization and the fans as well, because you have People's Choice Awards. And
yes.
so you can go through a process of choosing. And you can do that, I think, still going on until March 3rd for final round voting. Talk a little bit about the People's Choice. Have you ever been nominated in there?
Yeah,
it's
a tough one. I'm mm-hmm. always surprised at all these bands. Like, it's amazing when they first start, and it's like, I think I'm pretty in tune with the scene, but I didn't even know there were so many bands.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, even the ones that get to the very end, I'm like, I don't know them. And
right.
which is amazing that here are these bands with these fan bases putting them all the way to the end. And
mm-hmm.
like, well, I gotta work.
Yeah, because you really have to hustle, don't you? You have
yeah.
to get your folks out there and get online and vote.
Really? It's
yeah.
amazing. And I think that's cool too, that there's just so much happening that
mm-hmm.
it's hard to keep up. And that's cool for especially a city of our size to be so just always just blowing up with music. It's
mm-hmm.
great.
Now, as a writer on music scene, what do you write about? Are you critiquing performances?
I do. So I do less critiquing of actual performances just because I can't get to them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always playing, so it's hard. But I do love to review local albums.
Mm-hmm.
I just reviewed a bunch a few weeks ago. And just like you're saying, with how many different bands and everything, it was so much fun that I got to review Neglected Foot, which is like a metal band. They're
mm-hmm.
just super heavy rock. And
mm-hmm.
it was like, this is so cool. This is so out of the box for me. Usually I do get a lot of singer-songwriters, rock, okay. But they were so out of the box. And Atkins Riot was another really exciting album to listen to. And so, and I've got more coming in, Mike Davis. And so it's just so encouraging. I love doing that.
So flip the script. So now you have your artist hat on.
Yeah.
Being reviewed, how is it being reviewed on the in a part of that process on the other side?
Yeah, well, so I
have you read some bad reviews of your work before?
Not
because you're bad, right? You tearing it up.
So
you don't get bad reviews. Is that what you're saying?
No, I mean you definitely get critiqued. Sometimes it's not always in a formal written review, but you definitely hear it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it. I think it's super important for an artist. It's a very hard line to walk where you want to promote yourself, be proud of yourself, but you're always critiquing. You're always trying to be better. You're always, you know, when I listen back to a CD, it's hard to be like, should have done that differently.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I messed that up. Like, could have. But that's the whole point of an artist, is just you have to feed off of that criticism and grow from it and say, well, they're right. I could be more creative in that way, or I could do better in this, or maybe I need to take some lessons on this. And that's a great thing. You have to have that open attitude about it.
So what are you potentially being recognized for? What work?
This year, the album is Fear is the Cage, Love is the Key, and it's a double album.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, this was a really cool kind of accident. I went into the studio last May and just put down 18 songs. Just it happened. And so we kind of went through there picking and choosing and figuring out what we would do with them. And some went off to be redone in Nashville, so they got taken off. Another one got added on. And so it was just a very organic experiment, really. And it was fun because normally when you go into an album, a lot of times it's like, your band is rehearsed. This is how it's going to go, and that's it. But this was not like that. It was very much, I think I need Lauren Berger on this song, and I think I'm going to put violin on this one, and I think Joey Arcuri on this one. And so it was so fun to just let them happen naturally mm-hmm. and just feel them out. And they're all very personal and very much talking to this theme where I feel like the concept album isn't as big anymore as mm-hmm. it used to be. But this very much is. It's like a journey from pain and jealousy and fear to breaking out of the cage, which is the last song. So mm-hmm. it's like when people can listen to it all the way through and hear like the progression and the changes and then, you know, coming out on the other side, I hope they understand the whole message that I'm trying to express, that it's not just songs about me and this and that, break up, blah. It's not mm-hmm. meant to be like that. It's supposed to be like an empowering journey for the listener to then relate to it themselves.
Is it about you, though? I mean, so when you talk about pain, jealousy, fear, are you playing scenarios out in your mind from someone else's story, or is this your story?
It's both. And I think that's another interesting thing as a songwriter. I remember I talked to Lucas Nelson a long time ago, and he said there was one song in particular that was such a painful experience for him. And so I said, how do you, you know, get out every night and play it? He's like, well, the whole thing about songs is just like, it's like putting it in a bubble. And so, yeah, okay, you'll think about it, but it's not like every time you're reliving it. You're understanding that you captured a moment and you're letting it go. And it's, I think, it's like therapy to just, to, you know, here it is, and it's something beautiful now that I can let go and let someone else gain something from it. So, yes, about me. One is actually about a book character. So I went a little out of the box on this one. But
What character, what book?
So I love Michael Crichton, and the book is Dragon Teeth.
Okay.
And there is a character that comes in literally for like 6 pages, and I wrote about her. Lucien. Yeah. She was just, the way he talked about her was amazing.
So what's the one song from the album that you listen to and say, I got that one right?
I got that one right. Oh, boy.
What's your baby?
My baby. Oh, that's so hard.
What song needed the most nurturing and love and care and is delivering the rewards when you listen to it?
You know what? Actually, it was Try. It was Try. That's a duet I did with my boyfriend, Ben Wayne. And it was really cool to do that because I feel like people are afraid of duets for some reason. Like, I was trying to rack my brain, like, has anyone done that here? And I can't really think of it. I'm sure someone has, but it's not common. And I think it's because it's really hard to, one, not be cliche, and then to really capture the emotion. And so that can be hard because if you are a couple, well, that's pretty loaded. And if you're not, well, then you have to manifest that. It's like creating chemistry as actors, you know? So I felt really ambitious to try and do that. And I think it turned out really well. And it was a fun challenge for us both, too.
Well, we'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, I guess so.
We're going to take a listen to that right now.
Spend enough nights alone in a house, not a home. Walked in and changed my world, but nothing comes free. We made it this far. I found my shooting star. Wanna be wherever you are, where you are. But will you take me as I am? I'll be a better woman. Will you take me as I come? I promise you won't run. We gotta try. We gotta try until the day that I die. I got this naked in my bones. It's something you gotta know until the day that I die. Baby,
you got me on a soul. Wanna love you till I'm cold. 6 feet on the ground. You still be the beat to my sound. But will you take me as I am? I can be a better man. Now will you take me as I come and promise you won't run? So baby, we gotta try.
That is a lovely piece of music. So what do we have going on here? What's the story? What are you feeling?
Oh, well, that's funny. I wrote this after we had a little fight. but I think some of the best stuff, especially for songwriters, comes out of conflict. You know, you can't, it's just like a book or a movie. You can't have a story without a problem. So this came out of that because at the end of it, I was like, this is so stupid. Like, we got to keep trying, and, you know, and we'll get it right. And isn't that what a relationship is? Just mm-hmm. trying every day. Just got to try a little harder. And so the song was born out of that, and I knew I wanted him to sing on it because he's just an incredible singer. But it was hard. It was hard to figure out how we were going to do it and where are you going to harmonize with me and I'll go with you. But it just came together magically. And I'm also really proud of this whole thing because I got to play a lot of things and push myself. So it wasn't like, come in here and save me and play the guitar and mm-hmm. play this. It was like, no, I'm going to lay it down and then you come in and you amplify it.
So what was the challenge for you?
I mean, on the whole album, the challenge was to figure out how to communicate things myself. In the past, it's been very much like, well, I'm just going to sing a little bit and I have my whole band underneath me and so... It's easy to float on top of something as good as that. Mm-hmm. But to have the pressure on yourself to do it is hard. And I did have my band there to help me on a bunch of songs and other guests, which is huge. But when I look back at all the parts I played on so many of the songs, that was hard. That's a big change. And, you know, especially for huge singers, like, they're not playing anything. They're not even writing half the time. So to sit there and say, like, I'm going to write, I'm going to play four different instruments, then I'm going to sing, and I'm going to organize what other people are going to do, that's a huge undertaking.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, you have to be, you know, worried about your songwriting, the musicianship, your vocals,
right.
What the other musicians are doing. It's you're doing a bunch of project management.
Yeah,
really.
Exactly.
You know?
That's really what it is.
So and pulling all that together, obviously, the project resonated with voters for the Sammys. And at the risk of asking you to get in someone else's head, why do you think it resonated?
You know, what I've heard the most is that it's real. And I don't think there's a better compliment for a songwriter. I think there are some people who get away with being very much entertainers, and that's fine. That's a beautiful thing. But in an album, I've always looked for, that's why I love artists like Alanis Morissette or Fiona Apple, Gwen Stefani. They're so real. They're mm-hmm. just spilling their guts everywhere. And I think that's the greatest compliment that anyone could ever say. So that's what I've heard back, and it's the greatest thing I could hear.
And it looks like you've taken the creative just all the way through, including the artwork for the CD. So Fear is the Cage is a dark picture with some red lighting, and Love is the Key, lighter tones, white outfit, white background, white flowers in the hair.
Yep.
Talk a little bit about this duality that you're painting here.
That was another whole amazing happy accident, really. I knew I wanted Robin Stockdale to do my artwork. She's done it in the past, and she's just a genius every time. But this one we sat down like several times for a few hours and really talked about the songs, talked about what I was trying to get across. And I had the idea of like the Jersey Devil for some reason. Someone had called me that. And so I thought devil theme, dark. But she was like, but these aren't all, this isn't, you know, there's something else happening here. And there's so many songs. Why don't we split it in the middle? And like, I think you should name it this. And I was like, I think you're right. So she set up everything. She set up this whole incredible team to set up those sets and really come up with the costumes and the makeup and this whole much bigger idea, which also I love. I love that this album isn't just, you know, somebody drew a picture to slap on the front. Like, it's very meaningful, mm-hmm. the whole top to bottom, from the songs to the guests to the artwork. So I think that's another thing I'm so proud of.
Now, for those that have never attended a Sammy's before, do the nominated acts actually play? Will you be playing that evening?
I won't be playing, but they always do have musical guests. So people who have won in the past usually come back a couple of years later and end up performing.
So not where the act or band or artist that's nominated plays the song?
No, that doesn't happen. But we'll be playing after the show.
You'll be playing after the show, so that's good.
Of course.
And will you be taking the evening off from covering something like that? Will you be writing about the Sammies while you're being potentially recognized?
No, I want to have fun and just be in the moment and enjoy it. So hopefully they won't make me write about it.
Well, speaking of fun, this was a really great conversation. We appreciate you coming in and talking with us on 315. What are folks going to be looking forward to with the Sammies for those that have never attended one before?
Yeah, well,
who attends?
That's what I was just going to say that I think a lot of people look at it like, oh, it's a Sammy, so it's just for the musicians. It's a musician party and that's it. Like, why would we go? It's so much fun. It's so much fun to just be around the energy of so many talented musicians in the same room. Mm-hmm. I love that, just to see everyone together for once. And for fans, I bet if you went, you would find 10 new bands that you're going to start following just to be like, well, I guess, you know, they won this, or that sounds interesting, or, you know, it's a great way to get involved in your scene and discover, you know, people now that you can see all the time that aren't far away or expensive tickets. Like, you can go tomorrow and see them wherever, Dinosaur, you know?
Yeah.
It's just an amazing, great, great thing.
And I like that they have a Lifetime Achievement Award category.
Yes.
I noticed that a couple of my favorite people, Karen Savoca and Pete Heitzman, are being
amazing. Yeah.
Recognized. And of course, we can't go without recognizing a posthumous award for WAER, Syracuse University's Lou Reed, recognized. That event happened separately from the evening of the Sammies. This is the night before?
Yes, the induction ceremony. And that's also a great event upstairs at the Dinosaur. It's always fun.
Yeah, so we look forward to checking that out. Jess Novak, and the title of the album is what?
Fear is the Cage, Love is the Key.
It's a beautiful compilation of songs, great storytelling, beautiful artwork to this project. We wish you
the
best of luck.
Thank you. I appreciate it
so
much.
In your category. Take care.
Thank you.
Well, look who finally decided to show up. Kevin Kloss, you missed a really good one today.
Yeah, sorry about that one. Had a little bit of a family emergency, but really excited to get a little inside info on Jess Novak and what's influenced some of her work.
Yeah, it's a really good conversation, and really enjoyed the song Try off of her album Fear is the Cage, Love is the Key. And that is the album that has Jess nominated for Singer-Songwriter of the Year for the Syracuse Area Music Award. So it's really, really cool.
And the festivities around the Sammies, those are taking place March 7th and the 8th. Now, we have the Hall of Fame induction dinner. That's March 7th, and that'll be upstairs at the Dinosaur Barbecue. And then the following night, the award show takes place at the Palace Theater. All that information, along with more, is available at SyracuseAreaMusic.com.
There's no curtain call or encore for this episode of the 315, but as always, you can find past episodes at waer.org, and you can stay up to date with the shows by following us on Facebook. Just search for the 315.
And you can also subscribe to the show for free in Apple Podcasts and Stitcher to get new episodes delivered automatically. I'm Kevin Kloss.
And I'm Joe Lee. Thanks for listening.
'Cause now I'm living without you.